Praise the Lord. You ought to sit behind in front of Sister Mary when she's praising. She brings the anointing, right? Amen. You know, the song service, everything has to be led by the Spirit, right? If you have one thing out of place, it gets everything out of place. And the second song, Abba, the wrong version was used. And that just threw everything off. And it's my fault because I didn't go back and check and make sure they had the right version. But I will definitely do that from now on. I won't forget that part. Because that does, it just throws everything off. And it's it just isn't the version that I wanted used. You know, if you noticed on your bulletin, the top says, the exodus from sin to holiness has begun. God told me that. God told me that, and that's why we put that on there. Now, the exodus from sin to holiness has begun. And that has begun, but not as much as it should be in the house of God. There's a lot, you know, I just read something this morning before I left the house where it said that many are falling away right now at this given time. There's a a lot of people in the house of God just decided they don't want to serve God. And I think Barbara and them, when they was on the streets yesterday, people told them they didn't want God too, right? And there's a lot of that going on right now, but the problem is a lot of it's in the house of God. People are getting discouraged because the battle has been hard. The battle has been long and rough. And so the people are giving up and are just walking, you know, their own way. And, you know, God has been encouraging us all along not to give up, hasn't he? He's been encouraging us to hold on, right? And nothing in life comes simple, does it? Everything has its problems. Everything has its ups and downs. And we have to walk through it. So why can't we do that with our walk with God? Walking with God has its problems. Oh, the Bible tells you that the whole way through, that the enemy is going to constantly harass you and temptations and everything else. He tells you exactly what's going to happen. So I can't figure out. I'm sorry. Is that better? I can't figure out why the body of Christ can't fight for their salvation. Can you? You know, I just want to share this with you guys who have children. Years ago, my grandson was really being harassed by the enemy. And he said, Mom, why am I going through this? And God spoke to me and said, because I am serving God. The enemy can't get to me, so he's attacking my children. So, and I'm saying this right now to you today. If your children are being attacked, it's because you are serving God. And the enemy cannot take you out. So he's going to try the dearest thing to your heart, and that's your children. So what we cannot do is we cannot give up on our children. We have to constantly be praying and covering our children. It's because of you that they're in the mess that they're in. I mean, basically, from what God told me. And, you know, right now, you know, my grandson, he's in a mess. And I had a dream about him the other night. And we was in a long hallway. And he was coming towards me. But he was using a crutch and he was dragging his one leg. So I asked Chris Lynch what that meant. And Chris said, him coming towards me in the hallway was his ministry. And him dragging his leg with a crutch and on a crutch was he wants to serve God, but he's weak and he's feeble and he needs help. And God's been telling me all along, if you'll just hold him up before me, I'll bring him through. So, you know, no matter what your kids are going through, don't give up on them. Don't throw them to the curb. But keep them continually prayed and covered in the blood of Jesus. These are God's children that we have. They're not ours. And God told him, I give you the children to raise in my ways, and then I'm going to judge you how you raised them. God gives us children, and we are supposed to raise them in the ways of the Lord so that God can use these children to do the works he wants them to do, has foreordained them to do. And if we don't do our job right, guess what? The kids aren't going to turn out right. And I know that you're like me. You wish you'd known this stuff when they were in your womb before they ever come out into the air, right? And you would have done things so much differently. But you didn't. And so we have to take what we know right now and we have to start applying it. And if you're being harassed beyond measure, it's because that's how strong your calling is from God. The stronger your calling, the more the enemy is going to harass you. So please don't give up. Please be encouraged and please keep going. You know, they're saying in November there's a whole lot of stuff going to come down when the election is. But at the same time, God's anointing is going to be strong. And if he brings his glory this fall, well, that'll all fall in line with what's going on in the atmosphere. So one thing we as a body of Christ need to be constantly doing is keeping our eyes upon Jesus and off of the things of this world. And don't look at your kids and at what the enemy's doing with them. Keep your eyes on the promises that God has given you about your children. Because that's what's going to happen, whatever he's promised you. I don't know why God's had me tell you this morning, but I know our children are under a great attack right now. And if you read all these stories about how mothers are killing their young kids, you know how kids are just going out shooting each other? Right now, the young people are being attacked ferociously by the enemy. And I think it's our part as intercessors to keep all the young children covered in the blood of Jesus. Just not our own personal ones, but all the young children out there. I can't believe if some of the things I'm reading that mothers are doing with 2 and 3 month old children, you know, killing them, and how they're doing it. I think, how can you do that? And one mother ran over her 6-year-old daughter. I mean, you know, this is all demonic. And so we really have to be holding this up before the throne of grace so that God can intervene and save our children. With the overturn of Wade versus Roe, I'm surprised how many people are really up in arms about that. And the junk that's going on about that. Have we not learned yet that God is sick and tired of us destroying our his babies? And I thought the other day, when is America ever going to wake it up to the fact that this is one of the things that's gotten us in the state of trouble with God that we're in, is the fact that we are killing his children. This can't go on, saints. And we need to be interceding for this. We need to be interceding that God will send his angels, do his work, and save the children. I don't care whose they are. Save the children. It's a younger generation God's going to use. So why is Satan working, trying to kill the children? He does not want the younger generation to come forth because he knows they're going to tear down his camp. All right? And if you know that one scripture says, woe to those who are with child. You know, sometimes I just think this could be even relating to right now. Because the gross darkness, the way it's covering the land, and you're pregnant with a child, and that child has to be born into this mess. You know, they're being born into a terrible mess. Well, Father, I truly do thank you, and I thank you, Father God, for speaking about the children this morning. I thank you, Father God, that we have a job to do, and you expect us to do it right. And this morning, Father God, all those that came out to sit in your presence, I'm asking, Father, that you give them a special touch. Give them fresh manna from heaven. Change and rearrange, Father God, what needs to be changed and rearranged in all of our lives. and bring us forth in your power and in your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many know what the sign over the front door says? How many know? One, two. Okay. Oh, you really do know? I forgot what it said. And Wednesday night, I was sitting in my truck, and two people that were here, they were leaning over the truck, and they said, "Surely this is the portal to heaven." And they were looking up. I said, "Oh, that's what it says on the." God's been talking about portals, right? And right there, he had us put the sign up over the door. Well, I'm glad y'all weren't like me. You didn't forget. You know it's out there. I'm going to start looking up from now on. Remember what God said. This is a word from God, steadfast and true. My servants are to be steadfast and true. There can be no space for indifference. When you walk the path I have set before your feet, let's read it again. My servants are to be steadfast and true. There can be no space for indifference when you walk the path I have set before your feet, period. Diligence. It takes diligence to walk out this path. You can in no wise be wishy-washy in your walk. You have to be a devout servant of the Lord your God. My word tells you, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow the gate which leads to life, and few find it. That's in Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Did you ever stop to think when you're sitting in the house of God, and you look around at your friends, did you ever think they might not make it to heaven? And did you ever think about your own self? God tells me to walk out my salvation daily. And I might be doing something really stupid one day and the devil take my life. Do you ever stop to think maybe you won't make heaven your home? My kids ask me, "You're going to go to heaven, aren't you?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know. I'm walking in out every day. And I'm hoping and I'm believing that I'm going to be doing the right things all the time. And I work diligently to make sure that I'm walking in a path that God would have me to walk. I'm not sure of my salvation. I'm not. Because I might do something really stupid and then have a heart attack. How about the guy that overseas who his wife slapped him and she's, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and he wouldn't forgive her. He got in his car and wrecked his car and died. Went to hell. He was a pastor. He just knew he was going to heaven. I want you to really think about this. What makes you so sure that you're going to go to heaven? Are you really walking out your salvation every second of every day? Are you really walking in the love of Christ? You know, the way God tells us to. He's going to, you know, that really bothered me because the first thing he's going to ask you is, did you learn to love? And you know, I really work on my love walk a lot because I don't want to stand before God and say, "I don't think so." And then he'd say, "Depart from me." Do you know how many Christians sit in the house of God and they're full of anger and bitterness and hate and they say they're going to heaven? You know, this fast that God called us on, you know, different people are wondering how they should fast. And I don't know why I said it, but I said what some people need to do is fast offense. Fast not being offended for 7 days. Amen? You know, whatever it is that you have a problem with, fast it and give it to God. Because offense does run rampant in the house of God. We know that. All right, God said the enemy stands continually before you to stop your progress in me. There is always a way of escape in my word. The enemy knows this and he trembles, but he also knows you do not know my word. Therefore, he has no worries about you destroying his kingdom. You see that? The world is overcome with evil on all sides, but I am on the scene and lifting the skirts. I am revealing the gross darkness for what it is. I am is on the scene, and I am has given orders to the angelic host to fight the battles and bring destruction to those who thought they were in the clear. You know, those people that sit in the house of God and are in sin and they have that face on them like they're so holier than thou. God knows what they're up to and what they're doing. And he said he's going to lift the skirts and he's going to reveal what they are, what who they are, and what they're doing. And I was coming up alongside here to make the turn here. And God said to me, you know what really makes me mad? He says, when people sit in their home and do perversion, then they come into my house and praise me. He said, I am really upset with that. And do you know how much that goes on? Men, women, both go to their computers, look at their perversion, then come into the house of God and stand there and act like they're God himself. God's upset with that. And God's going to start revealing those who do that. I don't think you understand the urgency of the hour. It is so urgent that we walk totally and completely into truth of God's word. It's so urgent that we stay, keep ourselves clean and holy every second of every day. It's very imperative that we do this. There's so much sin out there and so much sin in the house of God. Somebody sent me that Morris Sorello tape, and where God said that he's going to close down some big mega churches because of the sin in the churches. And God's really upset with churches that won't preach against sin. You have these great big churches, yes, but the people sitting in the pews are going to hell because the pastors are not telling them that what they're doing is wrong. And God's really tired of that. I thank God every day that I don't do that. You know, that God makes me preach what I preach, you know, and that's holiness. But see, you should be living that, and then you should be teaching it to others that you come in contact with. You can go and sit in any church you want to that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. That's fine. But where are you going to end up at? Right? And you know, I have noticed one thing. If you preach holiness, you don't have too many followers. Because the body of Christ is not one to live holy. But I'm also going to tell you one thing, because like Mary, you're having a really hard struggle, you know, with trying to keep this thing together with your church. But what's going to happen is just overnight, your church is going to explode. And those other churches that were out there exploding are going to fall. Because you have proven to God that he can trust you, that you will teach holiness, and that you will bring the people out of poverty of sin, and you'll bring them up into the Holy of Holies. Right? So guys, you know, I don't care if you're in your home and you're the only one serving God, you don't have to walk around there acting like, you know, I don't know what. Just be yourself. You know you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and going to heaven. Live the life. You don't have to preach. You don't really have to preach. The more you preach, the more you turn them away. You just be the light before them. Don't let them bring you down to their level. You bring them up to your level by being quiet, by being loving and kind and full of mercy. All right? Why did God call me an evangelist first? Because I have to give the message of repent. That, you know, that's what I have to do. And maybe God, if God didn't call you to be an evangelist, then maybe you don't have to take the message of repent. Maybe you're to take the message of love and then teach them through that love, they'll repent. So you have to figure where your little niche is at in God and then let God use you there. All right? I was thinking about Sister Barbara this morning when I was getting dressed. You know, she's perfect for the streets. Perfect for the streets. She has a mouth. And she has a backbone. And she's going to use both. That is why God made her the way she is. And that's why she's on the streets. There's a whole lot of people who can't go on the streets. Do you know, I can't go on the streets. Out there, I'm timid. I really am. But God, you know, look what God's done to Barbara. And then she drags the rest of you with her, and you probably just stand there, what is she doing? You know, she's teaching you how to be bold with the gospel. I know Patricia King one time, her and I forgot who the guy was, but they're both prophets. They went on the streets and had little chairs, and they just sat there and said, come here, God wants to give you a word. They prophesied to people all day. Yeah, and turned a lot of people around. Let God use you. You don't have to try to be something. Just let God use you the way he built you. All right, Psalm 110, verse 1 said, a Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Then God said, I will laugh your enemies to derision. And you can find it in Psalm 59, verse 8. I will tear down their kingdom of darkness. My light shall shine forth into a new day that is dawning. The warfare has been challenging and lengthy, but you came forth as more than conquerors. How many can say amen to that, right? This is your time to rise and shine. This is your time to look around about you, see your enemies lying in defeat. I know the basket spirit's out there, but you know I really don't care. You know, he has no authority over me. A lot of people really, you know, stress, he's there, he's there, he's there. Well, you know, I really don't care if he's there. I mean, we tell you, you know, we inform you, but because that's our job, but he doesn't bother me any because he has no place in me, right? All right, God said, the warfare has been challenging and lengthy, but you came forth as more than conquerors. This is your time to rise and shine. This is your time to look around about you, see your enemies lying in defeat. Your shout of victory shall be upon your lips, and all hell will be trembling. For they know the showdown is almost over, and they know they have already lost, but still they must fight to the very bitter end. The devil is not just going to, because if he goes back to hell and reports that he failed, he's in trouble. I read that, somebody wrote that in a book who followed Satan or something. So he's going to fight you, hoping that you'll finally give in, because he doesn't want to go back and be tormented. Don't you understand that? He is just not going to roll over and play dead, guys. I said to the devil the other day, I said, you know what, devil? You can't kill me. You cannot kill me. Some of my family already have me buried. Devil, you can't kill me. You might make me sick, but God told me you could do anything but kill me. So I'm not going to die. I am going to live on this earth. Amen? And, you know, that's what I say. I don't care if Basilisk's out there or not. I'm not going to die. He's not going to kill me. How about you? Do you really believe that in your spirit? He can harass you with sickness, because that's what he does. Or whatever he wants you with your finances. But he can't kill you. You can always get another new job or something, get your finances built back up. God can bless you abundantly, whatever. But why are we so concerned about what the Basilisk devil's doing? I want you to quit worrying about him. He'll be gone, what, in a few days anyhow. So you did all that junk for nothing. Amen. All right, God said, I tell you, my friends, all of heaven has been waiting for this hour. Right now, all of heaven is rejoicing over your victories on all sides. The angelic choir worships with you, and the angelic host is marching in victory. This is to this church this morning to let you know that God is ready to use you. That he's telling you that the enemy has no more place in you. You know, and if he does, it's because you're allowing him to have place in you. Are you listening? The enemy has no more place in you. You desire, if you're in sin, you desire that sin, or you let go of it. Simpler said than done, I know. But work at getting rid of it. God said, you have been seen nothing yet. Yes, the Israelites danced and shouted victory when the Red Sea closed in over their enemies, but oh, your rejoicing is making all of heaven resound with joyful glee. Now, tonight we're going to rejoice and praise and worship. This morning, God wanted us to sort of melt into Him. So, you have seen nothing yet. I want you to get in a little pea brain. You have seen nothing yet. There's so much greater ahead of us that God is going to do with us, for us, and through us. And God's bringing us to that place He can do that, but the enemy's still dancing on our heads. All right? You're going to have to give Him another dance floor. All right? Yes, the Israelites danced and shouted victory when the Red Sea closed in over their enemies, but oh, your rejoicing is making all of heaven resound with joyful glee. Your victories are many, and the miracles are overflowing into the earth. Miracle time indeed, miracle after miracle shall occur all across this great nation you call America. So when Barbara goes on the street, every time she can expect miracles. If it doesn't happen, that's okay. Next time she goes, she's going to expect miracles. And guess what? Finally, one day, it's just going to hit. It's not going to stop. She'll be there for a week, God performing miracles through her. She has to be persistent. Whoever's going on the streets, whatever your ministry is, just like you guys with your flagging and your praise and your worship, you know, you're doing it and it's wonderful. But one day, God's just going to drop in here and your flagging and your I just had the Holy Spirit over me. And your praising is just going to hit the whole church and everybody's going to be out in the Spirit. Because you too stood your ground against the enemy. And I know the enemy's been fighting the both of you. He's trying to get you to question what God's doing with you. Don't let him do that. See, I've already been through that, so I can say don't let him do that. Because I've already come across that. Amen. Because what I'm telling you is, you can make it. You can really make it. All right, God said, the enemy thought he had America under his feet. He thought America was conquered, but not so. There is not a weapon formed that can take this great land called America under. You can see Isaiah 54:17. You have no weapon. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, little ones, for you are the victorious ones. Keep looking up, for you shall see angelic hosts ascending and descending, bringing heaven to earth. You see Genesis 28:12. I want to stop you on that there Morris Sorello video that we watched, if you watched it. God was saying something about President Trump, you know, going into office. God told me way back when that President Trump would be seated in the Oval Office once again and fulfill all the things that God had called him forth to do. And when he told me that, he also told me Wade and Roe would be reversed. Now, he also told me the Statue of Liberty was coming down. And I think I heard somebody say that. Somebody just prophesied it. But God told me way back when all this junk was going on with the election. And I couldn't figure out, you know, how that, but that's going to come down. Somebody else has heard it too. God, he has everything already mapped out. Your lives are already mapped out. And if you just listen to what he told you he's going to do with you, that is what he's going to do with you. But we have to walk through certain things to make us stronger and get us prepared to do the thing that God is calling us for to do. Do you understand that? He just not gonna, look what Jesus, you know, God said to Jesus, you go down there and you'll go to the cross for the redemption, salvation. But look what all the stuff Jesus had to walk through, what, for 3.5 years before he went to the cross. He just didn't come down and be all joy, 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 and then all of a sudden go to the cross one day. No, he had to walk through a whole lot of mess before the cross happened, before his assignment was really fulfilled, and we will too. And this is what's been happening. And so what's God been doing? God's been trying to bring families together, right? What's the devil doing? Tearing them apart, isn't he? Working overtime, trying to get divorces and trying to do all kinds of people killing each other, all kinds of things. Why is this happening? Because he knows that if God can get the families together, he's lost there too. Don't you understand how this is working? And like somebody said, or I read or something, that everything that God puts out there, Satan imitates. I've known that for a long time, haven't you? Just look and see what's happening. Open your spiritual eyes. Let's walk the way we're supposed to be walking. Instead of walking in the dark, let's walk in the light and see what's really going on. Right? Come on, guys. This is a very, very, very strategic time in church history, and you guys are part of it. God said everybody he sends in here is a minister. Now, whether you make the grade or not, it's a different story. But when you're sent in here, God's trying to teach you to be a minister so he can send you out there, but you have to go out there with power and authority. And I'm hearing God say you can't lack anything when he sends you out there. All right? Where I'm at, when heaven invades earth, this is God speaking, there will be a blast from my nostrils that will be felt through the entirety of hell. See that? When heaven invades earth, even the very bowels of hell tremble. The impossible begins to occur when heaven invades earth. You shall see the impossible on all sides and be partakers of this divine event that is starting to flood the earth. The earth will blossom once again. New life will emerge, and the children shall prophesy and do great signs, wonders, and miracles. The old men shall dream once again. The young men shall see visions. You shall see my word come to pass, and you shall be walking in the divine glory that I dropped upon my peoples for such a time as this. This is taking place right now as you're sitting in here this morning. God's already dropped his glory on us. He told us that way back when. The glory of the Lord is already on us. Now God is bringing it forth. It's going to start manifesting itself wherever you go. And Joel 2:28 and Exodus 15:8, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. It's quite a nose blow, isn't it? It's really going to do great things. Deborah's going to catch up with that in a minute. She's still trying to figure out what I just said. Come on. God said, forge ahead, little ones, and never for one instant stop. What did he tell you to do? Forge ahead. Don't be looking backwards. Once the wind blows, it will not cease. Remember God kept saying to us, don't you hear the wind? We weren't hearing the wind because nothing was happening. He was trying to tell to get us our attention. He wanted us to hear the wind. He wanted us to listen with our spiritual ears and hear the wind. And we didn't do it. But God said, but today is a new day. Today is a new dawning. And you're going to hear the wind. God said, once my miracles begin to manifest, they will not end. He told us that, right? This is an ingathering of the greatest harvest in church history. The prodigals are returning, and when they return, they will destroy all the works of darkness. For they carry the scars of the kingdom of darkness as a constant reminder of how small and weak hell really is. They will be a witness unto me both in Samaria and all the nations. Nothing will by any means stop them. And I looked, I knew that was everything God said is scripture. If you know, I could pull scripture for everyone to this. So Acts 1:3 says, After Jesus' death, he presented himself alive to the disciples in many different settings over a period of 40 days. I always think it's neat how God does everything in 40 days. Periods of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. When they were together for the last time, they asked, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Is this the time? And Jesus told them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. So that's why we're all trying to get God to do something, and it's not the timing for it. What you'll get is, here's what he says, what you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. To Samaria and even to the ends of the world. Guys, do you understand where we're going? We're going to minister the gospel and take signs, wonders, and miracles everywhere. Not just right here in this little room. Not right here in this little dead Wyoming. But all over the world. Are you understanding that? Come on. These were Jesus' last words as they watched. He was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. So that was his after he had been died and raised again. And then he talked to the disciples a few times. And then he went to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for you and I. I hope you really do believe that, because it's the truth. All right, God said the battles will be won because of the angelic assistance sent to fight with you and for you. You will no longer be caught in the middle of a lost battle because there are no longer lost battles. Isn't that neat? All battles will be victorious. A great turning of the tide has come upon my people, and with this turning, darkness will be defeated. See that? You have been through a thorough training, and you have come out victorious. The testings were severe, and you thought you would die in the battle. But here you are, glowing with the glory of heaven, with sword in hand, purposing in your heart to win the lost at all cost. Isn't that awesome? That's to you guys. All right? If anybody else listens, they just get to enter in a little bit. But that's for this church. I have brought you this far and will go with you to the very end. Nowhere in my word does it tell you that I drop you in the middle of the battle. See that? I have brought you forth as David's, Paul's, Peter's, and Elijah's. You carry the manifold presence of the Almighty One, and all will know you have been my child through all the storms of life. All will see and know that no weapon formed could destroy God's true children. And all will know that I fought your battles for you, and all will know that only the miracle-working arm of God could have brought you, excuse me, thus far. Excuse me. Now, when I was listening to Morris Sorello, he was saying that God is fighting our battles. The body of Christ does not believe that. But I'm sorry, you're not that, and then some. If it was you fighting that battle, you would be dead a long time ago. And I know we don't see the angels, but they're really there. And I know my desire is God. And I have seen angels, you know, in this room and in my home. But I want to see angels like some people see angels, you know. And I want them to come and talk to me, you know. And I know that day's coming. And I just have to be patient. But I think every one of us should desire that we see the angels. All right, so if you're out there in the street ministry, it's not safe out there. You know, from what I'm reading, people just walk up and shoot you for no reason at all. And so you have to have an angel there, guard you, and beside you somewhere, right? How many of you bump into your angel every now and then? All right, how many of you just see, like, you see something out of the side of your eye? That's your angel walking around. And the other day I was doing something and there it went, and I said, I wish you'd stand still and let me see you. You know, we're just getting a glimpse, but one day we're going to see the angels just like they did in the olden days. You know, that's who went, you know, in the Old Testament, that's who went to their tents and gave the messages. And, you know, they went there looking like men. They were the angels of God. Are you understanding this? I'll bet some of you have entertained angels unaware. I really still believe, you know, I used to always pick people up when they was hitchhiking. And when I left here one night right down the road here, this guy was hitchhiking and I picked him up. He got in the car and he said, "Hi, Barbara, how are you tonight?" I didn't know that guy from Adam. I said, "I'm fine." And then we went down the road a little piece. He says, "Don't you ever pick up another hitchhiker." And he said, "You can let me out right here." And I stopped the car and he got out. I knew that was an angel. And I know that was a God giving me a warning not to pick up any more hitchhikers. And as I started the car up and down the road, I thought, wow. I just had a visitation, didn't know it. Amen. So, you know, just stop and think of what's going on in your life. How many times you know you should have been dead and you're not? You know? There was an angel there keeping you safe. I've heard I had a neighbor who was in a car accident. She said that she was pinned under a car for quite some time. This lady came and knelt down beside her and told her, she said, "Don't be upset. Everything's going to be just fine." And she sat there and talked to her the whole time. They was trying to get her out of the, you know, unpinned. And then she said the lady disappeared and, you know, walked away. And so when she was finally up out from the car and everything, she said she'd like to talk to that lady. And they said, "What lady?" "There was no lady here." Now, these men were working around her, trying to get her out of the car, but nobody saw her but the woman that was pinned under the car. That was an angel, keeping her calm and quiet while they unpinned her. Remember the story I told you about my son-in-law? He was working on the barge over in the Bay Bridge, and my face came to him and said, "Look up." When he looked up, that thing was falling, and he jumped aside. The guy beside him got killed, but he didn't. Now, see, that was an angel, but God sent it in my facial appearance, so he wouldn't scare, that angel wouldn't scare him. And he listened to what I said to him. Well, it was an angel, and he was saved. Do you understand that? You know, you'd be surprised whenever you're really, it's really an angel, you know, but it's in human form. Let's start being a little bit more spiritual about that. And you know, and just ask God, just let me really discern what really is an angel and what really is human. All right? All right, I read it said, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. Without God, we cannot. And without us, God will not. The solution is life on God's terms." We have to do life on God's terms, not our own. God said, "Weep no more, my children, weep no more. Total victory is before you, and you are in the winner's circle with triumph written on your shield. Babylon, the world, can no longer hold you captive. It has lost its hold on you." Now, do you believe that this morning? Come on, do you really believe that this morning? God said, "My word reminds you, many are the affliction of the righteous, but I deliver you out of them all." Psalm 34:19. "You will see many changes all across this land. You will see governments fall and new governments arise. You shall see my will being done in the government. You will see churches close and new churches open. You will see many lose their mantles as I give them to another. Change after change on the horizon, but that need not affect you, for you are engrafted into my everlasting arms." It doesn't matter what you see going on in somebody else's life. And let's just use me for example. Say I fell. That should not affect you, because you're not engrafted into me, you're engrafted into Jesus, into his everlasting arms. Are you understanding this? You know, as far as I know, I'm not going to fall from what God's told me. But like I tell you, I take nothing for granted. I work out my salvation every day, but I just use that as an example. Or say your husband falls. That shouldn't affect you because you're engrafted in Jesus. All right? Is it Adelia? Adelia? You know, I've watched Adelia come in here bound, and I've been watching her grow, and she's going to continue to grow. You're not going to go backwards. You're going to continue to grow. And God's going to use you to do great and mighty things. And there's even going to be people come against you. Even your own family's going to come against you. Who do you think you are? Well, you don't think you're anybody. You know that you are a child of the Most High God. And you know that you're engrafted into him. And you know it was him that brought you forth. All right? It's not who you think you are. It's who you know you are. That's why I always say, I know that I know that I know that I'm a child of God. Each one of you in here should say that. Because that's not pride. That's a fact. And if you know that you know that you know, well then the enemy can't take you out. All right? God said, "The eagles are in flight all over the land, triumphing over evil. Soar, my eagles, into the heavenlies and get divine revelation knowledge to take to the lost and dying." Now, next Sunday, you're going to see eagles on your bulletin front, and this is why. So he said, the eagles are in flight all over the land, triumphing over evil. Soar, my eagles, into the heavens and get divine revelation knowledge to take to the lost and dying. Then he says, I am has gone into the enemy's camp before you and prepared the way for total victory. Soar. I don't want to see any downtrodden faces in this camp ever again. This right here was a victory message, was it not? Now, are you victorious or are you not? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And you have nothing to fear. And now you have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. See, I was going to use fearless, but then when he said about the eagles, I used eagles. But for the bulletin next week. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, this church is not going under.
Nope.
This church is not going under. We are the Philadelphia church, and I've taken this thing before God, and he said, the only one who can close those doors is me, and he's not going to let me do that either. Right. Amen? I don't care how big, how small, we are God's children. I never have looked at small things. God always told me, do not despise small beginnings. I've never looked to see how many people are in the church. As long as God is here, that's all I care about. And he's here this morning. I felt him when I walked through the door. You know, he's here in all of his glory. And he's here, guys, this morning with a great message for you guys. It was for me too, but I already got it firsthand, all right? And you're victorious, right? So there's nothing that the enemy can do to tear you down, right? And you're going forward, and that way you're forging forward, right?
Yes.
It's imperative that you get this in your spirit this morning, because God said, I'm getting ready to push you. He's getting ready to push you. And by that, it means he's getting ready to use you. And so you have to remember this, what you heard this morning, that no matter what comes against you, you are the victorious ones. Victory is in the camp. I don't care if it's your home. I don't care if it's your workplace. I don't care if you're in your car. Victory is in the camp.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have battles on all fronts. You know, we have to battle the devil that's battling us. Then we have to battle our parents. We have to battle people who are trying to get into our lives that shouldn't be into our lives. We have all kind of battles. But if we understand that, if you give that battle to God, the mercy seat teaching was really good for me. I'm taking everything to the mercy seat. You know, and I'm seeing great breakthroughs by doing that. God always gives us exactly what we need when we need it, does he not? And all the things that Morris Sorella was saying, God has already told us. It's a refresher. We already know that churches are going to fall. We already know that new small churches and big churches are going to rise. We already know that there's a great harvest out there that God's sending us into. And we already know that we've been through the furnace of affliction more times than we care to even remember. We know that we've been through there. He said we've been thoroughly tried and tested. So there's nothing that the enemy has in us. There's nothing in us that the enemy can use. Are you understanding that? All right. And see, sometimes the enemy will make us believe there's things still in us and that we can't move forward. And that's a lie. And, you know, if you feel like something's trying to get in, don't let it in. You know, and if you let it in, make it go out. It's your body. Make it go back out again. You have power and authority over your own vessel. You know, your vessel doesn't belong to me, to a deliverance minister. It belongs to you. And if you're going through deliverance and the enemy's trying to get back in, it's up to you to keep him out. Nope. No vacancies. Closed. All right? Well, you're ready to go forward as true soldiers. So get ready to get assignments from God. You're going to be hearing God speak to you clearer than you've ever heard him before. I said about Sister Grace, she's starting to preach. She's teaching about praise and worship or whatever it is. But that's good. That's good. So she's God has pulling up that teaching that she has inside of her, so she can teach people about praise and worship or whatever God desires, or even about being saved or whatever. But it's there. It's already birthed. It's there. I was telling Nancy that the other day in an email. I said, well, she's been birthed to teach. So don't back away from it. Walk into it. You know, whatever it is God's calling you to do, walk into it. Don't back away from it. Don't back away from it. Because God needs us in His community. We're needed in the churches. We're needed out on the highways and the byways. We're needed in the workplaces. But some of you aren't going to be working much longer because God's going to take you out of your jobs because you're going to have to work full time for Him. We're going to be so busy that we won't be able to go to a regular job. This will be our job right here. But this is how it works. This is how it works. Are you able to, is God able to send you out there somewhere and use you to win the lost? This is His question to you this morning. Are you really ready for God to use you to win the lost? Satan has thrown all of hell at each one of us. I didn't think he had anything more putrid to throw, and he finds something even more putrid to throw at us. But we came forth shining as pure gold. We came forth all those trials and tests and tribulations. Now don't go back. We are on a forward motion, and I just know that overnight this church is going to become so busy that we don't know what to do with ourselves. It's going to be filled to overflowing once again with signs, wonders, and miracles occurring. And each one of you have a very vital part to play in this move that God is doing right now. All right? I don't have an altar call this morning. This was a teaching to let you know where you're at with God. If you want a copy of the teaching, you can ask Brother Chris and they can print them off for you, send them to you in your email if you like. But you need to understand that God is ready now to use you. And He's already done everything you need done to yourselves, you know, to be strong towers. And there's not too much more that He can do except use you. The fasting is the very last thing now. Because I've noticed with my walk with God, and if you read the Word, every time He's getting ready to do something great, the people fast. In the 40 years that we, you know, He had us fasting just all the time, and now it's another 40 years coming, so He's beginning it with the fasting, and the miracles follow the fasting. So it's the ball's in your court now. You have to take your ball and run with it, all right? Don't give your ball to anybody else. It's your ball. Father, we just truly do thank You for the teaching and instruction this morning. We thank You, Father God, that You're getting us ready now to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. And that, Father God, we've been taught Your Word. We've been taught how to walk in the truth. And Father, we just thank You that You've always been with us, leading, guiding, and directing us. And we thank You, Father God, that even this day, the angelic host are in this room ministering to each person. And we thank You, Father, that wherever we go, You said You're always with us, and we believe You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.